Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Sunday through Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show co-hosted by Vera Resnick and Debbie Bruck. We're challenging you to join us on our journey to complete Samuel Hahnemann's Organon in 1 year. Let's go.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Debbie Bruck, founder of Homeopathy World Community, talking with classical homeopath Vera Resnick. Today is June 22nd, 2010, and you're listening to show number 35 of Who's Reading the Organon. We are going to be reading aphorism number 100. And today's inspiration comes from Elwyn Brooks White.
Sorry, Debbie, we're going to need to restart.
Hi, I'm Debbie Bruck, founder of Homeopathy World Community, talking with classical homeopath Vera Resnick. Today is June 22nd, 2010, and you're listening to show number 35 of Who's Reading the Organon. We're going to be reading aphorism number 100. And I just wanted to refresh everybody's memory that this is educational. Vera, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Good. We're two people studying together, talking about the Organon, about homeopathy, trying to get a little bit of insight into Hahnemann and what he was thinking and practicing during his time and how it applies to us today. Is that correct?
I would say that's correct.
Great. I just wanted to make sure everybody knows this is educational. And if they really want to take care of themselves, they've got to see their physician, their homeopath.
So educational and, for us,
yes,
too, Debbie.
Very educational. We learn from each other and from Hahnemann as he sits in with us in the empty chair. And so today's inspiration is, let's see, from, it's quote from Gloria Accioli, and it says, to change your circumstances, you need to change your thinking and subsequent actions. And in addition, Elwyn Brooks White says, I arise in the morning torn between a desire to improve the world and a desire to enjoy the world. This makes it hard to plan the day. I'm wondering how we can do a little of both, because everyone is looking at what's happening in our world today, the national disasters, all these different kinds of things, and yet we need to find a way to live in awe of all the gifts that are there and the wonder. And then there's one from Joe Walsh, and he says, I can't complain, but sometimes I still do. And I do also. Okay, that's it for inspiration and motivation. And on the network, I want to thank everybody for posting their questions, their comments on the live chat, in the discussion forums and the blogs. And I noticed that a couple of people have been getting their Twibbon, which is their little banner for their Twitter. It shows their affiliation to homeopathy. So thank you for that, and hope a couple more people do go over to the Twibbon website. And I encourage everyone to just invite one new person to join the community. Make it a special invitation. Show them, direct them to a particular video, picture, blog that you think would enhance and enrich their day. And now we're going to further enrich our day with...
Makes no difference, either in the mode of examining or of treating it. as the physician, must anyway regard the pure picture of every prevailing disease as if it were something new and unknown, and investigate it thoroughly for itself, if he desire to practice medicine in a real and radical manner, never substituting conjecture for actual observation, never taking for granted that the case of disease before him is already wholly or partially known, but always carefully examining it in all its phases. And this mode of procedure is all the more requisite in such cases, as a careful examination will show that every prevailing disease is in many respects a phenomenon of a unique character, differing vastly from all previous epidemics to which certain names have been falsely applied, with the exception of those epidemics resulting from a contagious principle that always remains the same, such as smallpox, measles, etc. Now, I personally don't understand the end of it. Like, on the one hand, he's saying move away from names.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, he's saying except for those names. So
maybe as a pattern, a repeating pattern, something that comes up again and again. He's seen it year after year. Maybe, you know, things like smallpox in his day, chickenpox, and measles, mumps, his medicine. You know, that always keep yourself open to something that's possibly new and different.
Mm-hmm.
And don't become complacent and think, oh, this is this, and just go with the old way of doing things. But then recognize when something is back again. I don't know, is that conjecture on my part?
In principle, what you're saying makes sense to me. I just wonder, I'd be very interested in input from people listening to this, whether they know what
path sometimes uses genus epidemicus, a similar pattern remedies that seem to work each time, but each time it may have there may be a varied, right?
Mm-hmm.
For 1 year belladonna may work, 1 year gelsemium may work. So that's why he has to be, you know, keep yourself on your toes. Maybe we should do a definition of what contagious disease is.
I find apropos of the genus epidemicus, I find it very interesting on the various listservs where people, homeopaths, are discussing matters pertaining to homeopathy. So very often at the beginning of winter, a discussion starts about what kind of flu is going on in your area. And different people
mm-hmm.
bring information from different areas of what kind of things are going around and what kind of remedies they've found useful. It's a pooling of information that I think is very helpful, very useful.
Mm-hmm. And today, with I consider communication to be contagious today. It spreads and it goes very like wildfire. It goes really fast with the, you know, even the word communicable disease is like infectious disease, contagious disease. It spreads. So these kinds of things, the information spreads. There may be some kind of a metaphor there or analogous picture. So contagious diseases, and when you do gather this information from the different neighborhoods, again, it's showing variety. In one place, it may be the headaches, the stomach flus. In another place, it may be the upper respiratory.
Mm-hmm.
So there is an ability to gather this information. Isn't there a website? I think it's Paul Herskew's, where they gather.
This is an epidemic. Most people were kind of iffy about giving that definition to this problem at this time. And really the best advice I got was that it's a time that it's worthwhile treating through nutrition. So that's what I did. That's what I started doing at that time, and I found that it helps probably better than a remedy could.
Well, maybe what you're considering is something that Sora, just the skin itch and the dryness of the air and the change in the season. So more miasmatic and When we think of contagious disease, it's something that's transmitted through physical contact. So if one person has itchy skin, maybe, you know, it's not always going to transfer to another person. So if we need to keep within the definition, a contagious disease is a subset category of infectious disease, communicable disease. And it's easily transmitted through that physical contact with the person who's suffering from the disease. And it's usually through the secretions, you know, when somebody blows their nose, sneezes, and they touch their face, and then they touch an object or another person, they shake hands, or a glass, and another person picks up the glass, things like that. Let's see. There's a non-contagious category of infectious communicable disease also, and that requires a special mode of transportation. So we call the living being the host, and these include some kind of vector. Like when we think of getting malaria, we think of the mosquito, or yellow fever, the mosquito. So there's direct contact between the blood, or even sharing, you know, when people share needles with drug addicts, or sexual contact like AIDS or hepatitis B. So these are the different kinds of ways that the disease is communicated, transmitted.
Never take for granted that the case is already wholly or partially known. Examining it in all its phases. These are instructions for any homeopathic treatment. And part of the beauty of this is how these instructions hold true, whether we're talking about a cold, a cough, a chronic backache, flu. It's the beauty of a principle that is true, the beauty of a treatment method that has a...
And today, they try to second guess what's going to come around, what influenza is going to come around each year and want to vaccinate for that. And yet, the modality, the influenza virus, that is its, what's the word for it, how it's variable and it changes. It there's a special word for that. It mutates. Yeah, thank you very much. It mutates. And so here he knew back then to that's kind of incredible. So we just can't just give it one name, because like humans and organisms are dynamic, so is the disease dynamic, always changing. Wow, I'm just floored by how brilliant he is to be able to teach us this information.
Let's continue with subsequent aphorisms to flesh out the picture of what we're doing in epidemics.
Okay.
Would you like to read aphorism 101?
I'm not prepared with it. How about you?
Okay.
Do you have it?
I have it. It may easily happen that in the first case of an epidemic disease that presents itself to the physician's notice, he does not at once obtain the knowledge of its complete picture, as it is only by close observation of several cases of every such collective disease that he can become conversant with the totality of its signs and symptoms. The carefully observing physician can, however, from the examination of even the first and second patients, often arrive so nearly at a knowledge of the true state as to have in his mind a characteristic portrait of it, and even to succeed in finding a suitable homeopathically adapted remedy for it. I remember having one teacher who would say basically the first two cases are sacrificed for the sake of the rest, that the patient, that the physician can't tell enough from the first patient. Because in an epidemic, you need a composite picture of several people who are examined as one person. So it's particularly interesting. Since it's a collective disease, just one person will not be enough to get a picture of the collective nature of the disease.
Yes. So this is what you were saying about how communities were sharing information in order to put, it's like that story where you want to understand the blind person goes up to this thing and they feel, what is this thing? And they feel the tail. You know, they give it a, help me with the story. You know, it's the elephant story.
I don't even remember it. I just remember having this concept of this blind person with their eyes shut, trying to feel their way around an elephant, and an elephant keeping quiet during the whole process. So that kind of shut the story down for me because I couldn't picture it.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because otherwise they're only getting partial information. And so as all of us gather the different pictures that we see and recognize through our powers of observation, which we have already discussed at length through his teachings, then we can, and humans are amazing because we can communicate. Can a dog, you know, say, oh, my friend over there, he's got, you know, this problem with diarrhea and this other person has got vomiting. No, only humans can discuss and talk and put it all together. So that's why we have to work with each other.
I think it's also important to bring out that in the past, when we were talking about the individual's illness, whether chronic, miasmatic, or acute, we've been talking about relating to the individual, getting all the information we need from what has changed in the picture of health and sickness in the individual we're treating. And here, Hahnemann's bringing us to a situation where we can't get all the information we need from one person. So I think part of the issue here is identifying that we have an epidemic, which right at the beginning could be difficult. It's like once you realize there's one, there's two, there's three, they're similar symptom pictures, then you realize you have an epidemic, and that's possibly why it's hard to get full information until you get to that point. But I suggest that we read Aphorism 102 to kind of complete this this particular cycle about epidemic diseases. 103 already refers to the miasmatic chronic maladies.
Well, can I interject one little bit? I think that part of epidemic disease, the definition which went kind of awry in this influenza, is how far it goes, how far it spreads, or the number of people who get it, something like that. That's also part of it. Does, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I kind of feel that the definition of the most recent influenza scare was an epidemic and an outbreak of cupidity.
It was a misnomer, but of cupidity.
Cupidity. Everyone is invited to look up the word.
Okay,
and it has
good.
Nothing relating to romantic love.
Okay, it's how do you spell it?
C-U-P-I-D-I-T-Y.
Okay. We'll do that.
Outbreak of cupidity.
Okay. So,
But let's read 102 because it rounds out this picture, and it gives us an end to the sentence, if you will. In the course of writing down the symptoms of several cases of this kind, the sketch of the disease picture becomes ever more and more complete. Not more spun out and verbose, but more significant, more characteristic, and including more of the peculiarities of this collective disease. To intersperse a comment here, this is what we're talking about, that in an individual case, we're not looking for spun out and verbose. We at some point say, too much information, we need to focus. Here in the epidemic case, we need to broaden the field. We need to develop a sketch that becomes more and more complete with every additional piece of information, not more spun out and verbose, but more significant, and including more of the peculiarities of this collective disease. On the one hand, the general symptoms, e.g. loss of appetite, sleeplessness, etc., become precisely defined as to their peculiarities. And on the other, the more marked and special symptoms, which are peculiar to but a few diseases and of rarer occurrence, at least in the same combination, become prominent and constitute what's characteristic of this malady. In a way, I would compare this to focusing a lens.
To what? Focusing a lens.
Focusing a lens. as you adjust the lens to the right, to the left, as you do the adjustments that those people who know about using lenses, which I know less about, so you do the adjustments that are necessary, your picture gradually jumps into focus. And that's what's happening as you get more and more reports about the symptoms of the epidemic disease.
Vera, that is such a perfect, gorgeous analogy, because it's, you're talking as if you're looking under a microscope, which is what scientists do to find this disease component. They're looking to try and focus the lens and look at the slide.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great.
That's,
love it.
That's what we're trying to do. And just to hop to the footnote and then back to the aphorism, the physician
okay.
who has already, in the first cases, been able to choose a remedy approximating to the homeopathic specific will, from the subsequent cases, be enabled either to verify the suitableness of the medicine chosen or to discover more appropriate, the most appropriate homeopathic remedy. So there's the beauty of the logical progression here of what Hahnemann is recommending to us. No, study the case, study more, and with each additional case that you study, check back to your original picture, see how to flesh it out more. And to continue with the aphorism, all those affected with a disease prevailing at a given time have certainly contracted it from one and the same source, and hence are suffering from the same disease. But the whole extent mm-hmm. of such an epidemic disease and the totality of its symptoms, the knowledge whereof, which is essential for enabling us to choose the most suitable homeopathic remedy for this array of symptoms, is obtained by a complete survey of the morbid picture, cannot be learned from one single patient, but is only to be perfectly deduced and ascertained from the sufferings of several patients of different constitutions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like if the hot patient becomes cold, and if the cold patient becomes colder, then we know we have something here that is making people colder, whatever their constitution. Whereas if the hot patient becomes cold and the cold patient becomes hot, we know there is something that messes with the thermoregulatory system, but we can't mm-hmm. know that we're looking for a chilly remedy.
Mm-hmm. When you read that, it reminded me that this is a communicable disease, something that rapidly and easily spreads throughout populations. So very often people will get colds, they'll get something, but that has to be an important component of recognition.